If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with us today to Habakkuk. Reading from Habakkuk, the first chapter, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance, for spoiling and violence are before me, and there are those that raise up strife and contention? Therefore the law is slacked, and the judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And it was then as it is today, God's always doing a lot more than any of us can see. And notice the reply of God in verse 5, behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. And I could stop and say, thus saith the Lord today, that everything that seems to be in a certain cast, blink your eyes and open your eyes, and even behold among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, because God is working in our land today. I have a message that God gave me this particular title as we go through these three chapters: Ultimate Trust. Ultimate Trust. As far as I'm concerned, during these days, there is no time for fluff teaching or preaching. We must go to the bottom line. We must see what the Word of God has to say. And to be honest with you, a lot of my ministry for the last few days and weeks has been the overflow, as it should be, from a pastor's heart, as I have already been reading and praying over and believing the Word that we've shared with you today. Ultimate trust. If there was ever a time that we need to understand what that is and how we can participate in it, we need that so desperately in all of our lives and our nation today. Perhaps I could expand the title to be Ultimate Trust in God. You see, it's trusting God with all of your heart before you have done all you can do, when you're doing all you know how to do, and after you have done all that you know to do. Ultimate trust. Chapter 1 of Habakkuk shows the burden of Habakkuk when it seems like unrighteousness and inequity prevail. You know, if you have a righteous bone in your body and you see all kind of unrighteousness, it's an unsettling thing. And especially when you're hit from every side with the news media and from all kinds of information, there's a burden. And that's what we have to watch in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't let the news media put a heavy on your head, or even what you personally may be experiencing during these days. Habakkuk was overwhelmed with the burden of his day. And I tell you, friends, there's a lot of burdens that can overwhelm you in our world today. And not just in the realm of politics. There's a lot of unsettling things in our nation. And I realize that the ministers of the gospel need to uncompromisingly preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ stronger than we've ever preached and taught the gospel of Christ before. We may be a nation that's manufacturing so-called intellectuals, but they're poverty-stricken when it comes to biblical knowledge and following through. Now, here are some of the things that created a burden with Habakkuk, and if you let it, it will do the same in your heart and in your life. It's that burden when right seems wrong and wrong seems right. And I believe it was Hitler who so long ago, not that long ago really, who said, if you just tell a lie long enough and often enough, people will believe that lie. And Stalin also picked up on the same thing. You know, you need to be careful what you believe today. You need to be careful who you believe. You need to be careful how you come to the conclusion of how you believe. Friend, if there was ever a time that we need to study God's word and biblical values, we need to do that today. Now look real quickly, and I mean this is just storybook, right down line upon line, verse upon verse. What was causing this tremendous burden with Habakkuk? Well, the mystery of seeming unanswered prayer. There's not a one of us in this room that you've poured your heart out to God and you felt like God left town and had an unlisted phone number. You couldn't find his mailbox. And he doesn't respond to your email. What happened to that intimate God that we've known and served over the years? Seeming unanswered prayer. We go further and find another burden that he faced, the lack of basic honesty and integrity. If you do the right thing, it's frustrating that someone else doesn't do the right thing, right? If you try to be honest and honorable, it's frustrating when you don't see that on the job or in the community or in politics or in whatever else. The third thing was no fear of God's laws. Folks, we don't know how this nation was founded. We don't know the godliness, the purpose, the intent, even of the Constitution of the United States. In fact, I've heard a lady who was totally in la-la land. She said, well, maybe the original purposes and intents just don't suit our society today. And I said, ma'am, there's a lot of society that doesn't suit biblical values today. We've drifted. We've drifted. What we're facing today could not have happened 8 years ago, but we've been bombarded and hit on every side, and we've been threatened, and things seemingly don't matter. And you say it doesn't make any difference who's in the leadership of the nation. You don't quite understand what time of day it is. We've had some very disastrous things that have been imposed upon this nation over the last 8 years, and we probably don't know the half of it. Every trip outside of the U.S. costs $6 million just for the leader that travels, plus the billions of dollars they give away trying to make a name. So no fear of God's laws, a blatant, thirdly or fourthly, a blatant disrespect of biblical values. I'm still old-fashioned enough to believe that this is the best rule book for any of our life. I know we're not saved by keeping the law, but God had some reasoning, some very strong reasoning. Ted Koppel said it best when he spoke for a graduation at TCU a few years ago. He said, ladies and gentlemen, God did not give us the 10 suggestions. God gave us the 10 commandments. You're not saved by the keeping of these, but I wouldn't want to live next door to someone who despised every one of the 10 commandments. He might steal my car, my lawnmower, my dog, or whatever else is available. And so a blatant disrespect of biblical values, telling lies when the truth sounds better. This is what Habakkuk was facing, what we're facing today. Sin increasing on every hand, it seems. The laws of the land are a joke. So what is a law? You just get a lawyer and you go after it. And there seems to be no justice, a disrespect. And I encountered that as I walked into this room today. I don't know why I asked that question. Young man who is here, and he just graduated from the Marine boot camp. And I don't know why I asked it. I don't even know who he would have voted for. But I said, did you vote? He said, they wouldn't let us vote. I said, what do you mean? He said, they said it would be too much bother. We were all so busy. You know, you're just getting ready to maybe give your life for your nation, and your vote would be a real bother. Now, if that doesn't stir up some American blood in you, you need to get some patriotism flowing in your veins. You didn't hear that on the Associated Press or CNN. You never will hear that. But walking into this room this morning, I heard it very clearly. We were not able to vote. They said it would be too much of a bother, and that's just a fraction of what we're facing now. Now, seems to be no justice, a disregard for the voting rights, a disrespect for the voting rights of those in our military whose lives are in jeopardy daily, guarding and defending us on the land as well as on the sea. Those sailors didn't know what hit them. They were behind a steel wall. They never knew it. So as we look at this thought of ultimate trust in God, I'm going to tell you, as a football player, I saw Emmett when he was hit the other night. Man, I mean, he was hit by two guys and the ball went rolling. That's exactly what Satan's trying to do. He's trying to hit us from every side until we lose that verse that's been so precious. Until you just lay your Bible down and say, there is no justice. Until you just throw up your hands and say, my vote doesn't count. What difference does it make? That's the purpose of a football game, and that's the purpose of the evil one. So I want us to see how ultimate trust in God responds to ultimate stress. God gave me this message, and it has ministered to me in a way that I could not tell you. I want us to look into the second chapter and see how ultimate trust and faith in God responds to ultimate stress. Even in the dark hour of the burden of chapter 1, the burden of the mystery of seeming unanswered prayer, the lack of basic honesty, the failing of the fear of God, and all of these negatives that we quoted a moment ago. In the dark hour of the burden of chapter 1, God was shouting hope to his people, but they were not listening. And there's a lot of things that could trouble the heart of a sincere believer today, but I want to tell you there is hope. There is darkness, but there is hope. And there is grace that is greater than the darkness. Long time ago, some of you would not even recognize the name, but there was a man when I was a little boy growing up on the radio, our entertainment center. His name was Gabriel Heater, and he would come on and say, oh, yes, there's good news tonight. Oh, I can still hear that as a little guy. Oh, yes, there's good news tonight. Saints of God, you listen to Pastor Bob Nichols. Oh, yes. In the midst of the burden, in the midst of the doom, in the midst of the gloom, oh yes, there's good news tonight. There's good news today. God said in the 5th verse, behold ye among the heathen, regard and wonder marvelously. Hey, the heathen are not bigger than God. And if I read my Bible correctly, God has one big humongous angel that slew 185,000 single-handedly in one night. Not an army, not a regiment, not a host, one angel of God in one night that slew 185,000. And when they woke up the next day, they said, what in the world has happened? Friend, God's on the throne. He said, I will work a work in your days, a work so great that you will not be able to believe it, though it be told you. You know, a burden will break you if you face it in your own strength. A burden will break you if you face it in your own strength. That is, any burden of life that you face in your own strength. But I'm going to go to the encouraging part of this message today. You know, it is encouraging to know that other folks have faced the same times we're facing. And if you read enough history, you'll read where somebody, somewhere in the history of this great nation, faced a very similar, it may not have been exact, but a very similar moment. Now I want you to notice that Habakkuk's burden did not drive him insane. It drove him to his knees. What did we sing years ago? Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Your burden will absolutely break you if you face it in your own strength. That is any burden of life. But oh, so much prayer is going on during these days. Listen, There are people that you don't know anything about that have fasted 40 days for our nation. Some big names and some no names. God has some very powerful people, and some of you are in that circle praying over our nation at this strategic time. Habakkuk's burden drove him to his knees. We had a little marquee over on Bear Street so many years ago in the old post office building. We had so much response to it. Back against the wall, try knees on the floor. A lot of people responded to that one. So you see, he prayed. Now before I pray, I can do nothing but worry, fret, stew, get aggravated, my stomach churns. You know, just get all upset. Before I pray, there's really nothing I can do. If there's something I could do, I would have already done it. But we're talking about ultimate trust. Before you've done all that you can do, when you're doing all you know how to do, after you've done all that you know how to do, Habakkuk prayed. And it's very plain here in this second chapter. I'm going to stand upon my watch. I'm going to set me upon the tower, and I'm going to watch and see what God will say unto me. He said, I'm going to pray until I get an answer from God. Well, that's in line with Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things. He said, I will seek God. I'll wait on God. I'm going to see what God has to say about this. You know, strangely enough, God has a lot to say about this hour that we're facing. His word is full of it, but God will quicken that to your own spirit. And here is what God said. Write my vision. Write down my word for you. Has God ever given you a powerful promise? Write it down. Pray it. Believe it. Confess it. Stand upon it. Oh, listen to me, church. Write the vision and make it plain. God's word is not a little promise in a box to say, oh, that's nice, and put it back in the box. God's word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God's word shall come to pass. Write my vision. Write my word for you. Make it plain. Don't bevel the edges. And this is where I feel, I don't know what God's going to do with me in the next few years, but there is a righteous stirring in my heart. So many ministers are afraid to tell the truth. And when preachers don't tell the whole truth, their people don't live the whole truth, and they don't act the whole truth. If I tell you it doesn't make any difference how you live, hey, I believe in grace. Man, if it wasn't for grace, this preacher wouldn't be standing here and none of you would be sitting there. Oh, I thank God for the grace of God poured upon our lives. But if I stand up as a pastor and, well, you know, you people have it so hard and life is so tough, just, you know, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't sleep around. You shouldn't mess around. But, you know, everything's cool. And you know, if I preach like that, God have mercy. We need to tell it like it is. Righteousness exalteth a nation. I have no right to call myself a God-called minister or a God-called pastor if I'm not willing enough and strong enough to tell the truth as God makes it real to my heart. I forfeit my position. I'm not doing this to make a living. I'm doing this because I am called of God. It's my life. It's my breath. It's what God's called me to do. Write the vision. Make it plain. My vision is real, he said. My word is true. My word will come to pass. If you'll let me paraphrase in the beginning of this second chapter. My vision is real. God's given all of us a vision. God's given me a vision. I don't see it all perfectly, but it's becoming clearer all the time. And it shall come to pass. Though it tarry, wait for it. You know, we miss more things that God has for us because we become impatient. We get a word from God and we know that and we get all excited about it. And then a few things happen and we say, well, you know, maybe so, maybe no. The word of God said it, though it tarry, wait for it. It will surely come to pass. Have faith, have patience, Have trust in God. Never forget. And here was the golden diamond that was discovered when God said, I have a vision for you. I have a word for you. Make it plain. Write it down. My vision is real. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come to pass. But child of God, get a hold of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. I said, get a hold of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. The just shall live by faith. The just, those that are right with God, those that are in right relationship with God. There's no other way for a businessman to do business than that the just shall live by faith. There's no other way to have a successful marriage than that the just shall live by faith. There's no other way to preach the gospel of Christ than the just shall live by faith. One of the most powerful things I've seen in my lifetime was the memorial service of Coach Tom Landry. As I saw those big football players of days gone by come by and said he didn't just talk the talk, Tom Landry walked the walk. And a quote was made of Tom Landry in his lifetime. He said, the only hope any human being has on the face of this earth is faith in God. Powerful statement. The only hope any nation has is faith in God. The only hope any church has is faith in God. The only hope you have when a tornado wipes your church out is faith in God. The just shall live by faith. Say it with me. The just shall live by faith. Oh, I love that verse. You know, that's not the only place that's found. It's found in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Four places in the Word of God you'll find the just shall live by faith. Romans 1, 17. Galatians 3, 11. Hebrews 10, 38. And then, of course, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Didn't say the just shall live by feelings. I said it didn't say the just shall live by feelings. The just shall live by CNN, or the just shall live by the morning newspaper, or the just shall live by the latest judicial decision. Folks, listen to me. If we're not faith people, we're not born again. If we're born again, you were born again by faith in God. And there's no other way to live. There's no other way to pray. There's no other way to give. There's no other way to do whatever you do, except the just shall live by faith. No other way to go. No other way to live. What I'm talking to you about now is not the teaching of a famous personality or several famous religious personalities. This is the bedrock teaching of the Word of God, my friend. You're saved by faith. You're kept by faith. You're healed by faith. You're encouraged by faith. When you don't know what to do, the just shall live by faith. Faith in God, ultimate trust. That's what God's talking about. Ultimate trust. Ultimate trust. The just shall live by faith. Oh, when the bills seem high and the funds seem low, and when everything in your life seems on hold, the just shall live by faith. When the old car's running good and you want to give it to Diablo. The just shall live by faith. When your body's feeling great and your body's encountering some opportunities, the just shall live by faith. When your studies are going great in school and, hey, this is a breeze, and when you're being ultimately challenged, the just shall live by faith. There's no other way. Ultimate trust. Ultimate trust in God. Now, when Habakkuk turns to chapter 3, we see the blessing that comes through ultimate trust in God. Whatever news comes down today, haven't you had enough bad news? Haven't you read enough bad news? We're not going to give up. I'm not talking about compromising or being passive. But you know, your speedometer may say 120 miles an hour, but you try keeping the pedal on the metal. And if you don't hit something before that time, the motor's going to blow up somewhere down the line. Just because it says 120 doesn't mean you can drive at 120. You've got to know what time and season and what speed is applicable. So let's see when burden turns to blessing. Wouldn't that be wonderful if every one of us traded in our burdens? Your 200,000 mile burdens to the Lord today, and let God just bring the peace of God that passes all understanding. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Wouldn't this be a wonderful day when you brought that heavy thing, that heavy burden, that pressure, that stress, that whatever, that has just pushed you to the brink. And today is the day when that light comes on in your heart and you said, I can take my burden to the Lord and leave it there. I'm going to cast my burdens on the Lord. Well, I have some good news for you. Oh, yes, there's good news tonight. Oh, Lord, I have heard thy speech. You know when your burden's going to turn to blessing? Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Oh, Lord, I have heard thy speech. The word speech really is the better interpreted as report. Lord, in the midst of all the bad reports, I have heard the good report. Lord, in the midst of all the bad reports, I have heard God's good report. What your cousin's saying may drive you crazy. What your brother, your sister, your father, your mother may have been saying or whatever, if it's not in line with God's word, can trouble your spirit to no end. And probably there's been too much said about not enough said over the last few days and not enough praying. Oh Lord, I have heard your report. Lord, I've heard your report of what you said about me and about my wife and about my children and about my grandchildren. I've heard your report, God, and I believe it. I have heard your report, God, and I believe it. I've heard your report about Calvary Cathedral International, that it's been prophesied that just as the wind blew and seemingly destroyed that structure, that a greater wind, stronger than the tornadoes that came, is going to blow on this church in days to come, and it's going to be the winds of the Holy Spirit of God. I've heard the good report, and I believe the good report. I said, I've heard the good report, and I believe the good report. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. What is that report, Pastor? Well, I hope you asked that question. If you didn't, you should have. Oh, Lord, I have heard thy speech. Oh, Lord, I have heard thy report. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Notice the difference when ultimate trust and faith is at work. Notice it. Listen to the language in the first four verses now. Habakkuk stops talking about burden, about unanswered prayer. And he said, God really does hear and answer prayer. And I want to say to you today, God really does hear and God really does answer prayer. You see, when burden turns to blessing, now he's talking about revival. Revival. It's right there in chapter 2. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. I know the fire of revival is not burning as we want it to and as it shall. But I'm here to prophesy to you, and I can tell you by fact that there is a spirit of revival in pockets all over this land. Someone said there's no revival in America. I'm sorry, Mr. Ostrich, your head's too far in the sand. You did it to yourself. Get your head out of the sand. There is revival in the land. Not enough, not as much as shall be, but there is revival. I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Also, he said, God. What do you mean, God? God's still on the throne. Verse 3, glory. We will see God's glory, or we will go through Satan's gloom. Darkness is not of God. Doom and gloom is not of God. Faithlessness is not of God. Are you with me? That feeling of hopelessness is not of God. And please listen to Pastor Bob Nichols. If there ever comes a time in your life when you despair of life and you despair of living, I have good reason for saying what I'm saying here today. If there comes a time you can't face life, at least that's what you feel like, for God's sake, reach out to a fellow believer. And don't play hide and seek and say, well, if anybody loves me, they'll come to me. Oh, get off that. Go find you one of the probably more than one believers that you know is born again, spirit-filled. They believe the word of God, and they won't push you away. They'll embrace you, and they will say, life is worth the living. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what's going on in your heart, whether it's chemical or spiritual or whatever it may be, but it's real to whoever it's real to. When you see someone that's despairing of life, don't joke it off. Don't pass it off. Embrace them. Pray for them. Pray for them. I have such good reason for saying what I'm saying today. We're so busy doing our own thing that sometimes we're insensitive to the cry of others, help me. Because it wasn't a roar, because it wasn't forceful, they must not have meant it. Yeah. You'll hear about it later on. Man, when somebody reaches out to you, you're not the Savior and you're not the Deliverer. God's the Deliverer. But for God's sake, reach out to them and love them and say, there is hope and there is help and life is worth living. Thank you, Lord. Well, he said, glory. We'll see God's glory or Satan's gloom. And then he's talking about praise in verse 3. This is so exciting. Oh, man, we're in chapter 3, verse 3. The earth was full of his praise. You know, if you could put God's headsets on this morning, you wouldn't hear CNN. You wouldn't hear the Associated Press. You wouldn't hear ABC, NBC, or whatever, see. If you put on God's headphones of faith this morning, you'll hear a mighty roar of, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That's what you'll hear on God's headset of faith and trust. Oh yes, brightness in verse 5, brightness, the brightness of his light. And he had horns. In other words, bright beams are coming out of his very being. Trust me, darkness may be all around you, but look up, look up, look unto Jesus. Bright rays of deliverance are flowing from the Son of the living God today. And there was the hiding of his power. That's a strange statement in verse 4. There was the hiding of his power. You know, for some reason, I hope you understand my statement. Sometimes it seems like God's playing hide and seek. Did you ever play that game when you were a child? Where is God? Wait a minute. Is that an accurate statement? What about that? There was the hiding of his power. It's in chapter 3, verse 4. The hiding of his power. But let me clarify that. He did not hide from you. He hid it for you. The hiding of his power is not hiding his power from you. He has hidden his power for you. Now we read and see the declaration of ultimate trust and faith in God. It's no fun to be alone. It's no fun to have to stand alone. I've been there so many times. It's no fun to take a righteous stand and you turn around and there's nothing but healed us going the other way. You did what was right. You chose what was right. We did that when we chose the Jesus revival years ago. Lost some friends, but how can you lose a friend you never had? You might turn with me now to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17, 18, and 19. Although. See, we shout if, when. I just got the double, and it's coming. I just got a better car. My problems just vanished. I'm happy. Were you happy before? No, but I'm happy now. Well, you've got the wrong happy. You're happy about circumstance and you're happy about things. I want you to notice, this is the bottom line of ultimate trust and faith in God. Although everything in your life fails and falls at your feet, no fruit, no fields, no harvest, no meat, no herds in the barn. Where's your shout now? No fruit, no fields, no harvest, no meat, no herds in the barn, no husband, no wife, bereavement. Everything goes off the chart for you in the wrong direction. Now we're going to find out something about this ultimate trust in God. Oh, it felt so good because I had all my toys. Who couldn't shout when everything's going in your direction? Who couldn't shout when everything's going your way? Oh, I wished I could shout it and hear it echo all over the universe. Although what? Although everything fails around us. No fruit, no fields, no meat, no herds in the barn. Although, here's the voice of ultimate trust, yet I will. Although, can you handle the although? I'm ready for the hundredfold, the 60-fold, the 30-fold. I'll even settle for double today. Although, you know why I love this church? Because I've seen so many of you come through the although. And I heard your faith and your trust say, I will. I will not quit. I will not whine. I will not compromise. I will not be bitter against God. Although, I will. What do you mean, Pastor? I've made my decision of ultimate trust and faith in God. Although yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Verse 18, I will rejoice in the Lord. Are you committed to although yet I will? If you live long enough, somebody's going to let you down. Some preacher's going to let you down. Some deacon, some elder, some prophet. Somebody that you had so much confidence and faith in. You know why? Because they're human. Doesn't mean they're mean. They may be mean, but it may not be that. They're human. But he said, I will rejoice in the Lord. Early on in my ministry, I had some very bitter disappointments. I had some people that I had on pedestals in the ministry that broke my heart a million pieces. Now you're going to decide what you're going to do. You're going to quit. You're going to whine. You're going to pull back. You're going to say, is this what it's all about? But you know what? I said, although I will make this decision. Let, if it comes down to it, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. If every preacher fails, I don't have to fail. If every church goes crazy, Calvary Cathedral International does not have to go crazy. If he's come through before, he'll do it again. I will rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to be thankful. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Thank God I'm saved. The Lord is my strength. You know, in Daniel, the 10th chapter, let me tell you something about Daniel. Daniel saw our day and fainted. Pew. Not a catcher in sight. Daniel saw and felt and experienced the pressure of our day, and he said, I can't handle it. He just went out. But the Lord revived him. And I want you to know when you can't handle it. Oh, you feel that touch of God. God said, let me give you strength. Oh, thank God, thank God. Ultimate trust. The Lord is my strength. Daniel fainted, but God strengthened him. Psalms 27 said, the Lord is the strength of my life. Oh, here's another, although yet I will, God makes my feet like hind's feet. In high, dangerous, treacherous places, God makes my feet sure, steady, safe, even in places of danger. Although I will, when the bottom drops out, when it's good, when it's not so good, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be thankful. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I am saved. The Lord is my strength. You know, listen to me. I've been there. I've been there this week. I've been there twice this week with people that have lost loved ones. Honey, when it's all over, it's all over. Your bank account means nothing. Your ride in the garage means nothing. Your trust means nothing for you. I mean, when it's all over, it's all over. Your toys don't count then. Your trophies on the wall do not count. Nothing wrong with things, but let me tell you, there will come a time in your life, if Jesus tarry, that absolutely nothing in this world is going to make any difference except you have been born again. You can have the best automobile, the best pickup. You can have all the toys. And there's nothing wrong. I'm not preaching down on that. But I'm saying you can have all of that and not have Jesus. And it will be as someone said, I wonder what he left. He left everything because he was not born again. Church, let it never be said that.